This is MemberCare Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Once again, today, our guests are Gordon and Rosemary. As we've told you before, their specialty is team counseling and team building. Are you familiar with the term preventative maintenance? If you own an automobile of some kind, a car or a van, then preventative maintenance is what happens when you take your vehicle into the service center every now and then, and the mechanic checks over all the vital parts to make sure everything is running as it is supposed to. If you're a member of a team, then your team needs preventative maintenance in the form of reviews at certain intervals. This could be every 2 years, every year, even more often. Sometimes it is the leader who does the reviews.
The team leader can review the team himself. He can set many of the things that are needing to be set. Perhaps what's difficult for him to review is his own performance, unless he's exceptionally self-confident and can ask other members of the team to review his performance, which some leaders are able to. Yes, certainly, setting the goals, making sure that the team is on course, reviewing the team, building his own team. Many good team leaders can and do that. Possibly we are called in to help teams several different points in their team's life at the setup point sometimes. Sometimes if a team is struggling for some reason, we'll be asked in to help. Sometimes we're asked in at the end of a team's life to help the team with the wind down process.
At some time, it is probably good for someone from outside of the team, a third party, to perform a review of the team. Sometimes that process can be somewhat painful for all concerned.
We can actually do as much damage by not saying what we think as saying it too ruthlessly or hurtfully. So we do need the feedback from one another, and to not give feedback is merely storing up problems for the future. I need to know what you think about me, and you need to know what I think about you. If the two people concerned can go take a walk and talk it through, great. If they feel they can't bring resolution, then yes, sitting down with the team leaders, if he can help each one to hear the other, is the next step.
Of course, if it's the team leader that's involved in the personality conflict, which it is sometimes, this may be the place for an outside person to be brought in as a mediator or a helper. And again, it's the sort of situation we sometimes find ourselves involved with. I think the key thing here is a biblical verse which talks about speaking the truth in love. It's not just a matter of can we accept what other people say, it's can they speak the truth in love. And we need the balance of the two. We need the truth, but we also need the love in the way that we say it. We're talking about spiritual Christian maturity here, really, being able to do that sort of thing and being able to accept it.
All right, let's look some more at this concept of team reviews and team evaluations. How should this evaluation be conducted? And what all should be included in the review?
As part of the team review, which every team should have at least once a year, maybe twice a year, we would advocate that they look at each member and say, put in practice a program of development. In other words, what extra skills do we need on the team for the coming program, and who are we going to send off to take this training or that training to help us to function better as a team? My own company is working in some technical areas, and teams start out and sometimes discover certain aspects are going to be needed, extra computing skills, and part of the forward planning of the team, in order that the team has all the skills necessary to meet the challenge, is to discuss among themselves which members will get which skills. So we don't have all the skills often to do the task that we need, but we're able to go out and get them through training. I would say there should be a training schedule for every team member.
Close relationships with other team members can be great, or it might not be. Very often this depends on something called interpersonal skills.
A team is an ideal place to develop interpersonal skills. We, all of us, have to develop some interpersonal skills through our childhood and youth. And many of us will learn a lot about this within our family of origin, and maybe if we're married, within our marriage. But also we learn a great deal of how to relate with other people by working very closely, as a team usually does, in a close-knit environment where you're learning how to confront one another, how to listen to one another, how to be a part of a team. That develops our interpersonal skills.
Interdependence is really what we're aiming for. We all know that too much dependence is not a good thing, that I sit here and I wait for you to tell me what to do, and I only do what I'm told, and therefore it's not my responsibility. We don't want that. On the other hand, too much independence, where I do my own thing and I do it my way, is also not too healthy in a team. So what we're looking for is interdependence. Not I'm responsible, not you're responsible. We are responsible together. We have a common task, a common goal. And together we can do it as I play my part, you play your part, and we work together.
We're thinking today about how a team grows and how it develops. To do this, every team goes through a sequence of stages.
Most people know that an individual will go through stages of development. We do in our childhood and in our youth. And then there are also recognizable stages of adult development. The same thing applies with teams. And there are several models of team development stages that have been written up, and quite a lot of research has been done on this. And it's now agreed that any group of people, you can identify the various stages that they will go through as a group. For instance, there's the beginning stage that we actually call infancy, where people are just getting to know one another. And there will be specific types of behavior that will go on. In a sense, you're trying to find out, do I fit in here? Do I want to be included in this group? Will this group accept me? So you can also call this the polite stage. You're finding out, what are the rules of this particular team? Are there rules that I can keep, indeed that I want to keep? So that's the first stage, infancy. There are also specific ways of helping a team to move on through the stages of team development to get to a mature team. And some of the things that you can do to move yourself on from stage one to stage two is to do anything that will encourage openness, sharing your feelings with one another, openly discussing your individual strengths and weaknesses, such as using something as the Myers-Briggs type indicator that we talked about further in a previous program. Anything that will help you understand one another in more depth will help you move on. And the theorists on the stages of team development say that the biggest leap forward that a team makes is coming from this first initial infancy stage of politeness into the second stage, which we've actually called childhood, which is discovering the rules and bidding for control. Now, under another way of looking at this is called the storming stage. This is the stage when the conflict is likely to hot up, because you've established the fact that it's okay to be in this team, that you're accepted. They accept you and you accept the team. Now is the time when people start querying the leadership, arguing with one another, and trying to sort out what's going on. So it's sometimes called storming, finding out what's okay and what's not. Again, there are ways of helping the team to move on. Conflicts need to be allowed to be surface and to be resolved. A way of helping can be to setting up the structures, as we talked also about that in a previous program, looking at decision-making and problem-solving methods within the team so that conflict is contained and is organized and doesn't get out of hand. Then you may move on to the third stage, which we actually call adolescence. You're moving ahead with energy and enthusiasm. You start to listen carefully to one another and to be willing to take other ideas on board. Oh, no, perhaps so-and-so's right. Perhaps my idea wasn't so good. One of the things that can really help at this point is to talk about ways to compensate for individual weaknesses, for one person to learn to step in and to complement their team, to hold regular reviews. How are we doing? Where have we got to? And then you come to the adulthood, where you're a mature team functioning well together. The team pulls well together. Every member becomes committed to the team's success rather than focusing on their individual success. The team becomes more flexible, more able to change its strategies, more able to change even its leadership. And you can move on through this by experimenting with change. Try a different leader. Do some of the things that you haven't dared to do before as a team because you're in a mature stage of a team. Now, what tends to happen in real life is that team membership changes. Other members join, some leave, and this can push the process back again. You can fall back a stage or two because of that. And so then you're starting again. And they say also that if a team gets right through to the mature stage, you can recycle back through the whole process. Or the team can continue at a mature stage functioning well together. But something may push it back and then they'll recycle back through this.
I think we've learned quite a lot today about what goes into building and developing and growing a successful and smooth-running team. It's been interesting. But before we wrap this up for today, let's have one more comment from Gordon.
Well, I like the saying that we should never come out of a team the same person that we went in. And in fact, if a team is working well, where we build trust relationships, and therefore we can get the feedback that we all need, then it's a wonderful place for personal development. I can learn far more about me when I'm interacting with other people, even when I'm in conflict with other people, than ever I will working on my own. Working on my own as an individualist will help me to become more idiosyncratic and more difficult to live with. Working with a team with all its pain and difficulty and adjustment is a wonderful way of teaching us to know ourselves and to know other people and to know God.
Well, today we learned some more about teamwork and about how a team grows through all those different stages, just like a child grows up from infancy through childhood to maturity, and how the team develops and how we can grow individually and as a group, as members of a team. Gordon and Rosemary were our special guests today. Now, maybe you would like to review this series. It has been a little longer than normal, 11 parts up to this edition. Well, if you'd like to go back and hear some of the segments over again and over again, then I'd suggest you check out the MemCare website and look for Teamwork in the archives. You can listen as often as you like. Point your web browser, whichever one is your preference, to www.membercareradio.com. That's www.membercareradio.com. And look for the archives, look for Teamwork, and just review these steps in building a team, and maybe it'll be helpful for your team.
This feature is a presentation of MemberCare Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.